All right. So here I am on the phone with Michael Skye. How's it going, Michael?
Good. How are you doing, Tim?
I'm doing great. And I really want to thank you for taking some time out of your busy schedule to do this interview, because I think you're going to definitely deliver some big-time value. I've been reading a lot of your material and studying your strategies, and personally they've worked very well for me. So I definitely wanted to share them with the people who are buying this course, because every tool you can have in your arsenal just helps. And I think you definitely got some very powerful weapons. So how about you tell me more a little about yourself? And I mean, some people call you a vision expert. So why don't you start there? What the heck's a vision expert anyways?
What is a vision expert? That's a great question. You know, vision is one of those words that's tossed around by a lot of people. A lot of people who write leadership books, business books, success books, a lot of people talk about vision, and a lot of times they use it synonymously with, you know, dreaming, visualizing, imagination. But vision, as I distinguish it, is something far different than all of these. And I say that vision is what you see when you look to your future, or what you see in the present when you look to your present or your future.
Mm-hmm.
Now, vision is very, very, very critical, because what you see in the moment affects your choices. It's like what's in the background behind your choices. A lot of us think that we really make conscious decisions from one moment to the next. You know, if we choose to go to the left or choose to go to the right. But in our mind, we have a certain vision of those different paths and where they take us. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So let's say if I choose to get job A or job B, you know, and choosing between those two options, I might be making a conscious choice, but vision is what set it up in my mind so it looked like I had those two options. And when I looked at maybe getting the one job, I saw one thing, and I looked at getting the other job and I saw a different thing. So my vision really set it up in a certain way. It kind of stacked the deck that would have led me to make one choice or another. So vision is like what's in the background that's more powerful oftentimes. It's like guiding us. It's guiding us more than we're guiding ourselves.
So let me ask you something specific. You know, as a former addict to many drugs, you know, sometimes when you do stop, you're faced with that choice. You know, you're craving whatever drug it is, you're hooked, or booze or even cigarettes or sugar. Now, that's, like you just said, that's a choice. So can you give me an example of how you would use vision to maybe make the right choice instead of going and just following your cravings?
Sure. A lot of times, someone with an addiction, you know, in the moment of choice, let's say that you choose to stop your addiction. Let's say you're addicted to marijuana,
mm-hmm.
and you know, you make a choice. Maybe you get really clear one day after you lose your job, you lose your girlfriend, or you're just not going anywhere. And you're in your mind, you're looking down the path of continuing to smoke weed, and you just see this just endless path of failure, and you really don't want to go down that path.
Mm-hmm.
And you look down this other path, maybe you get real inspired, you see someone, you know, maybe you have a friend who quit and he's starting to make it now, and he's more excited, he's got more passion. And in that moment, it sure looks more attractive to quit smoking weed and to go down that path of getting your life back together. Well, so in that moment, you make a choice and you make a commitment that I'm going to be, you know, I'm going to quit smoking weed. I'm going to stop my addiction to marijuana. Well, and then the next day comes up, and let's say you have a stressful day, things are pretty tough, and, you know, the craving comes back up. It's like there's already a pathway in your mind. It's easy to just go and pick up the joint, and maybe you're hanging out with some buddies, you've had a stressful day, and they're smoking weed, and instantly, like, you're connected with smoking it. Like, you feel like taking a drag of the joint.
Mm-hmm.
In that moment, your mind is set up and your feelings neurologically feel like taking that drag. But then you remember, I said I wouldn't. Okay? So in that moment, what looks more attractive in your mind a lot of times, okay, would be taking the smoking the joint.
Absolutely.
And not smoking it, to you, you know, you look and you see, well, you'd be deprived. Maybe your friends would laugh at you. You know, you see whatever you see. So you're in a state where you feel
kind of
conflicted.
Torn. Yeah.
Torn between those two. Like if you do smoke it, you'll feel guilty because you'll be going against what you said you would do. And if you don't smoke it, you'll feel deprived.
Mm-hmm.
So you're kind of stuck. So now what has affected the way that you see your choice right there is your vision. You know, you see the choice of stopping as leading to pain. You see the choice of not stopping as leading to pain. So if we can set up systems, if you can set up systems in your life to where you can reframe those choices, you can set that vision, you can create your own vision, then in the moment of choice, a lot of times, you can look to not taking that, you know, not going back to your addiction, can be much more attractive and pleasurable than going back to your addiction. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. I got a tough question for you.
Sure.
You know, when you're really deep in the addiction, you know, I mean, you're in it, you know, whether it's chronically day to day, you know, basically you're high 24 hours a day. You know, in your mind, you're saying to yourself, I just don't care. I mean, you just feel like I don't care. You know what I mean? I don't care. You basically almost don't care about the consequences. You don't care about, you know, where this is bringing you. You know what I'm saying? You're just caught in that moment, if you will. What kind of advice, you know, how can you use vision? How can you use any of these tools to kind of kick you out of that very negative, invisible slide, if you will?
Sure. Well, Matt, I don't know if in your program you include any kind of my inner conflict diagram or how to walk people through that.
Actually, we have.
But it is a way to really get present to your situation, like a way to kind of wake yourself up, so to speak,
mm-hmm.
to where you are right now. You know, ultimately, someone listening to this right now has to at least be motivated enough to do something about it because
right.
they've chosen to purchase your program. They've chosen to actually take the time to listen to this right now.
Yep.
So a next step could be to actually go through that inner conflict diagram to see what's in the background, to see what their conflict is. And if they go through that inner conflict diagram, one of the things that they're likely to see is that what's unattractive to them about stopping smoking is probably, for one, they've tried before and it hasn't worked. And so they look down that road and they see, I'll be deprived, it'll be, you know, it'll be tough, and I'll probably fail again. And that's not too attractive. What you also might see, if you look at stopping smoking, you might see that it looks like, you know, well, I'd be one of those people who are, you know, maybe like my parents or the people who tell me that it's wrong or I shouldn't do it, you know, maybe people who are extra conservative or they judge me. You know, if I go down that road, then maybe I'll look like them or it'll look like they won. And so that's unattractive. A lot of times people with addiction are people who have that natural rebel inside them, and I'm definitely one of those people, you know. And there's but you're asking, you know, what can we do? How can we begin to change that? I'll give you a very, very powerful strategy, okay?
Okay.
It's a very simple strategy, really, but it's very, very powerful. The more you can find a hero, okay? Now, a hero doesn't have to be like a superhero or someone who's built a billion-dollar empire.
Right. It doesn't need to be Batman, basically.
Right. Or it doesn't need to be a real-life hero, someone who's achieved super success.
Mm-hmm.
It might be your brother. It might be your friend who quit the same addiction. And you go and you have a conversation with this person, and you really find out, you know, like, what challenges did they face in stopping it? What feelings came up? And get really clear, like, on the battle that they faced. You know, or you can find a book, maybe a book or something online about someone who describes in detail the great challenge and the great agony and the difficulties they faced in stopping their addiction. Now, what this does naturally, you know, the human mind is really interesting. When we really get that something is a challenge, you know, when we really see a challenge, someone else facing a challenge, or ourselves facing a challenge, when it occurs to us as a challenge, there's a natural response to stand up and be a hero. There's a natural response to feel inspired as we watch people taking on challenges. So what can happen is, as we get really clear on, and we feel that inspiration as we see these heroes and we watch them fight their battles, then in the moment of choice for us, when it comes time to choose, all of a sudden what's there for us is, if I say no, then I'll be like this person. It's like we can feel that inspiration for ourselves. You know, our vision, it's like in the moment, a new pathway has been created. Mm-hmm. Like going down the pathway of stopping my addiction and saying no. Not like I'll think I'm like this person, but in my mind I'll be like this person and I'll be inspired by myself. So I don't want to say this is like a quick fix strategy, Tim, mm-hmm. but it's something to where if you made that, the more you make that a part of your life to surround yourself by those heroes, and to read those books and to immerse yourself in that context, then the more and more and more that your choices in the moment, you'll see those as an opportunity to be a hero like those people were a hero.
Right. That definitely makes a lot of sense to me. And I know I've used that strategy before. And, you know, when you start talking to these people, yeah, it does definitely help wake you up in a really powerful way, no question about it. So going back to vision, how do you go about building a vision? I mean, you know, it's kind of, I think everybody who's listening understands, okay, that makes sense. I should have a vision, but how do you go about building one? I think that's a big question.
That's a great question, Tim. And first, I'd just like to say that everyone listening to this call right now probably has some kind of vision about building a vision, right? Like if right. you think about building a vision, it might look like, oh man, like I got to go do that self-help work and I got to plan and set mm-hmm. goals. And your vision for building a vision might be very unattractive. And if that's the case, you probably won't do it. So, you know, and the first step is really to become aware of, like, what's unattractive to you about building a vision, or what's attractive to you? Like, actually take a look. Do I have a negative vision about building a vision? Okay?
Right.
And again, if you do, you could use the hero strategy again. You could go find people who've created a vision when there was none. You know, people who've risen up out of poverty, people who've, you know, people like Gandhi, just a normal person who got this vision for saving India and then went and did it. You know, so you could use the hero strategy again. But, you know, so start with that, and then, you know, there's all kinds of different ways to build vision. Like what I said is that vision is what you see when you look to your future, right?
Right.
So if you have a long-term goal and you have a bunch of action steps and action plans and systems in place and you see exactly how you're going to accomplish that long-term dream or that long-term goal, then you do have a vision. Like, so you could actually go through the process, and it's probably the kind of process that you'll see with a lot of self-help gurus. And as you just ask yourself, what do I really want? You know, and then you set some goals and then you put together an action plan. You'll have a kind of vision which can make you excited, it can make you passionate, it can motivate you. But there's a whole nother level, a whole nother dimension to vision, Tim, and that's vision that brings with it the powerful feeling of honor. Like wow. When you look to the future, you can feel passionate mm-hmm. and excited, or you can feel passion, excitement, and an incredible feeling that I call honor. I think in order...
So how about you, I mean, say maybe you might have lost some people using the word honor because, you know, honor, you know, we've heard it before, but I don't think people can see how this applies. And so how about you go deep and explain what honor means here?
Sure. Yeah, honor as a feeling is really a new distinction. Mm-hmm. We have words that we put on all kinds of feelings like love, but what is love, right? Love is, it's a very vague word to describe a huge range of feelings. Well, the same thing is true with honor. And there really are feelings that you can identify as honor. If you go to the movies, Hollywood does a great job of having you feel this feeling. You go to the movies and you watch a story, you know, a movie that has a story about a hero, about someone who overcame great adversity and stood up and fought the evil forces or the, you know, faced his own challenges, his own difficulties.
Right.
And, I mean, the movie store, the video store is full of them.
And do you have a couple of movies in mind that are your favorites?
I definitely do. One of my favorite movies is The Gladiator.
Mm-hmm.
And inside of The Gladiator, you know, for a lot of people, it's just this blood and guts movie. And there might be some people listening to this right now that, you know, that movie is just about killing and slaughter. And it is a very gruesome movie. But don't let that turn you off to getting this really powerful distinction. If you go and watch that movie, what you see is a Roman general who lives his life, you know, according to his values, you know, being patriotic to Rome and being a good general and being a great husband and father. You know, all these things are very high values for him. And he lives by those values. And you can just pick up from the kind of person that he is, that he has this great sense of integrity, this great sense of honor, you know, this great sense of living by what his principles are, by what he says, you know, by who he wants to be. So in honor in a general sense, the way most people use it is simply a state of high moral character. So he has his own code of values, and he lives by them. That means he has honor. Now, the feeling honor is different, okay?
Mm-hmm.
When you identify with this character as you go through the book, you face the challenge. You know, in your mind, you're experiencing the same challenges that he's facing. And what happens is, I won't go through the whole story, but he loses his position in the army, and they actually turn against him. He, you know, they kill his wife and his son, and they burn his property. They he gets sold into slavery. So he loses his freedom. He almost loses his life. He loses his job and his respectable position. He loses his family. He loses his property. Like, everything's gone,
mm-hmm.
You know. Like, what more can you take from the guy? And then what they do is that, you know, in slavery, he's forced to become a gladiator. Meaning he's forced to kill other people or be killed by them in front of, you know, hundreds and thousands of other people. And he's really good at it. And he sinks really low into a state of depression, and he's about ready to give up. It's like, why keep on going? This is senseless. I'm just killing people. I have no life. I have no future. And later on in the movie, he finds a reason. He finds a dream. He finds something to live for, something to take a stand for, and he does. And he chooses to face everything that there is to be faced and to take that risk and go for it again. I think it's a really powerful movie,
mm-hmm.
to inspire anyone with an addiction, especially someone who's lost it all or almost lost it all, because this guy does lose it all in the movie. And yet you get this profound feeling of who this guy is as you watch this movie.
I think another movie would also be Braveheart, which has a very similar drive and a very similar feeling when you watch it, you know.
Absolutely. You know, inspiration, I think everyone can pretty much relate to feeling inspired, like deeply inspired or spiritually inspired. You know, honor is very much like, similar to, or a lot of people describe it as, you know, feeling the Holy Spirit or, you know, it's that good feeling that you feel,
mm-hmm.
when you face a great challenge or when you stand up for your values or what you believe is right. So, Tim, when you look to the future, if you build out a vision for yourself, and you look down that road, and it also brings with it in an instant that feeling of honor, that feeling of inspiration that is so powerful it will have you take on any challenge, then that is a much more powerful force than vision alone.
And what do you call this force, if you will?
Actually, you know, I actually refer a lot as to honor as the force. Like, you know, you watch Star Wars, right? Feel the force, Luke. And, you know, a lot of, it's just a great analogy, but a lot of my technology and exercises and work that I do is based on people guiding their lives by this feeling of honor, this profound feeling of honor. And, you know, our feelings, our emotions, Tim, they are like drugs, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. They're actually chemicals in our brain and throughout our body that have us doing certain things. You know, we feel fear and we run or we fight. You know, we feel love and we take risks and we do this and we do that. You know, we feel sad and we do this or do that. So feelings guide us to a large extent.
Yeah, and I just want to interrupt for 1 second and say that if you haven't watched, and I'm talking to everybody who's listening, if you haven't watched the movie What the Bleep Do We Know, go watch it immediately. Go rent it. Hopefully it's out on video or DVD when you listen to this. And it really explains better than anything I've ever seen how we get addicted to feelings. Whether that feeling is getting angry or frustrated or getting, you know, melancholic or sad, we get addicted to those feelings and our body becomes its function. That's a critical integration. Your body becomes its function, meaning that the more you get angry, the more you get addicted to being angry, the more your body actually changes and forms more receptors for that anger. So, you know, feelings are like drugs, no question about it. I just wanted to validate that point. So,
yeah, that's great. I haven't seen that movie myself, but you maybe want to go see it. So the feeling of honor, really interestingly, is a feeling that can override even all other feelings. Mm-hmm. That's how powerful it is. I think it's really powerful, Tim, to have your customers get how powerful a force that honor really is and can be to override all of our other feelings. The reason is because, I mean, we're up to changing our feelings. We're up to changing our habits. We're up to changing our behaviors. And if people really get how powerful a force honor is, you know, they might find it worth their time to invest more in learning about it and how they can really use it as a guiding force in their lives.
So, how about you give me an example of how you can override, you know, the feeling of wanting to get high with honor? I mean, give me an example here.
Let me use a different example first, just a general example that I think everyone can relate to.
Okay.
If you, everyone knows, you know, everyone's familiar with 9/11 and, you know, the great tragedy that happened on 9/11 when the terrorists flew planes full of innocent people into buildings full of innocent people, destroying life, destroying New York City, you know, destroying a lot of natural values. And, you know, everyone's racing down the stairs, everyone's trying to get out of the building, you know, they're afraid for their life, they don't want to die, they're confused, they're feeling pressure, they gotta go, they're feeling hot because the building's on fire, you know, they're exhausted from going down so many flights of steps, all this pain, and all of a sudden, through the doors, comes men who are dressed in these heavy suits, and they're going up the stairs. Everyone else is going down, and they're going up into the burning building, into the flames, into the death. You know, and many of them knowingly, you know, risking their own lives, you know, facing their own death. Why? Because who they are in their mind are heroes. They're the ones who are going to save someone's son, someone's mother. That's who they've chosen to be in their life. That's the path that they've chosen, is to be the hero, to be someone who's going to stand in the face of even risking their own life, to be the one who saves lives. It's an incredible feeling of honor, you know, that can override the fear mm-hmm. of dying, override the pain of carrying all that weight up the stairs, override the heat, the pain of the heat from the fire and the suits, override the pressure, you know. All the painful signals are telling the firefighter to go the other direction, you know. And if it was some kind of animal, Blair, believe me, that, you know, the animal would be getting the hell out of there.
Right.
But the human being is going up. And so all the survival instincts are saying go that way, and he's going the other way. And one of the most powerful feelings that drove many, I won't say all, but many of the firefighters up that building, you know, up into the flames, is the feeling of honor. And that's how powerful a feeling is that can override even your impulses to get high, even your impulses to, you know, find some kind of escape.
Right.
So, Tim, just getting back to your question, how can we do this? You know, before we get more into the how-to,
mm-hmm.
I think it would help to take a look at, what it is that really has us addicted in the first place.
Sure.
And, what has us be addicted, is we have a desire to escape stress, a desire to escape painful, unpleasant situations.
Yeah,
and
whether that's being bored, sometimes it's just because we're so bored and the boredom is painful,
Yeah, we look at doing one thing and it's no fun. We look at doing another thing, it's no fun. And so that's, that addictive behavior, whatever it is, whether it's gambling or sex or porn or drugs or whatever, can be a way out.
Mm-hmm.
And, I would say addiction goes even far beyond the normal things we think of as an addiction. A lot of times watching television just on end can be an addiction. Or
for sure.
Just socializing, things to escape our present reality.
Absolutely.
Ways to escape the way that we see our life, ways to escape the way that we see our situation and the way we feel about our situation. So the reason that vision is so powerful here is because if we create, the more that we build a powerful vision for our life that is so attractive, so pleasurable, brings us so much honor, then there is no reason to escape. Why escape something that is so pleasurable and so full of the natural drugs of positive emotions?
Mm-hmm.
So that's why vision as a strategy can be a very, very powerful strategy to use in your battle to take on and overcome your addiction and create the life that you really want to create.
Makes sense to me. So now, okay, keep going.
I think that, now we're starting to come to, okay, well, yeah, sounds great. How do we do it, right?
Right. How do we do it? How do we maintain it, right? Because I think, we've all read books on how to improve your life or whatnot, and, it all sounds great, but then when it comes time to maintaining those things, it's always a different story. So how about you talk first about, how can we build this, and then how can we maintain it?
Great questions. First, let me ask you, Tim, about how much time we have left in our interview.
We've got at least another 20, 25 minutes.
Okay, great. So now, really big question, something that's going to be really challenging to answer in just 20 or 25 minutes, but I can give you some really, some really big insights.
Sounds good.
Look at Gandhi for a second. Here's a man who did anything but escape. In fact, he faced all kinds of fear and pain and torture and torment and hunger. And, living the life that he led was very, very painful. Yet he succeeded in freeing an entire nation, something that most people considered impossible. And that's the power of vision. Now, that's the power of one man to really create the, what looks like to other people to be the impossible in his life.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the most powerful things that I think you can do is begin to build a vision by starting first at looking at what there is for you to stand in the face of Let me explain what I mean by that. First, get really, really present to your challenge, your difficulties. Like, really take some time and sit down, and you could write this down. Like, what pain would I have to face? What things might I have to give up to create the life that I want and to end my addiction?
Like, yeah. I mean, just a few examples that come to mind that I've experienced is, you know, sometimes you know that you won't be able to maybe hang out with the same friends because, you know, those guys, their life revolves around drugs. So if you hang around these people, it's going to be hard for you not to do them. So sometimes that's a painful choice, you know, choosing basically to abandon certain friends. That's just for starters. But
yeah, so that would be one thing, and you might want to actually look at, like, what would that be like every day? Like, what feelings might come up? Feeling lonely, feeling maybe they now judge you and they make you wrong. So
mm-hmm.
Maybe other people think that you're better than them now, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So you feel isolated, you feel rejected. Get really present, especially to all the painful feelings that are gonna lie along that path that you're taking on. And I like using the metaphor of a mountain, okay? Like, imagine that there's this mountain. And for those of us with addiction, you know, it's a mountain that, to a large extent, we've not been climbing. And it's standing right behind us. And at the top of that mountain lies our future. You know, beyond that mountain lies this incredible world, this expanse, this thing that it looks impossible to make it over this mountain. But what lies on the other side is everything that we always wanted. But before you decide to climb this mountain, a first step is to really get clear what are all the dangers involved, what is the pain, what kind of pain is it going to involve, what kind of challenge is it going to involve. And Tim, I saw a show the other night about the Navy SEALs and the Hell Week that they go through before they graduate.
Right.
Where they practically freeze these guys to death. And you see Navy SEALs who've gone through all the rest of the training, and they've been really committed, and they really wanted it. Like, half of them to two-thirds of them drop out of this class.
Yep.
Like, these incredibly tough guys, they don't make it. And to a large extent, I don't think they knew what it would entail, you know, what pain they'd have to face to actually become a Navy SEAL. For the rest of them, you know, for the rest of them, you can only imagine what it feels like now to be a Navy SEAL, having faced their biggest challenges, having faced that pain, having come through on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
That feeling of honor, whenever they think about that challenge and about that mountain that they climbed in their life, it's going to be an incredible motivator, an incredible pleasurable drug that they'll have access to for the rest of their life because they are a Navy SEAL.
Yeah,
so,
I just want to say that I know, and I was friends with a man who was a former Navy SEAL, and, you know, there's nothing he felt he could not do because I think he had gone through that training, and, you know, there's nothing he felt he could not face, you know, so.
And that's why, you know, I think people who do have an addiction, especially the worse your addiction is,
mm-hmm.
the bigger the opportunity you have right here and right now to rise up and face this challenge, because most people out there in life, people who don't have much of an addiction problem or anything else, a lot of times they'll just find themselves just going through the flow and maybe not facing a huge challenge in their life, not ever even having the experience of being like looking death in the face and rising up and overcoming it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the people right now who have a challenge, especially a challenge with a really bad addiction that may be destroying your life. This can be your mountain. This can be what makes you that Navy SEAL in your life, is facing this challenge. But you don't want to start climbing that mountain, Tim, without realizing how big it is and how dangerous it is. Because if you do, you might tend to give up, like many of those Navy SEALs. People who were almost Navy SEALs gave up because they never understood the great challenge involved.
Right.
So the a first step is really getting pleasure to, getting present to what is the nature of the challenge, especially in terms of all the feelings that I'm going to have to face. You know, feeling deprived when I see other people, you know, indulging in this addiction, feeling, you know, all the feelings. Maybe feeling guilt when I have to, you know, when I don't escape and I have to face that I've created this mess in my life. Or so just go and get really clear on what the challenge is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, next, ask yourself, what would be worth standing for? What would be worth standing for to take on those challenges, to face that pain? And really just give yourself some space and some quiet and ask and really look deep inside. What would be worth standing for? And it might be that what's worth standing for is your son and your son being able to see you as a hero. It might be worth standing for your future, your life. You know, your one life on this earth. You might get really clear that it's worth standing for having the dream, having that financial success in your life, or just finding inner peace. Like, that would really be worth standing for. Other things to really look, to really see that could be worth standing for is, like, what would it be worth standing for being? It's a really big question. And as an example, you might get really clear that it's worth standing for being a warrior, you know, a hero in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Standing for being the one for my family, for my grandchildren. Standing for being the one who's going to provide a rich financial future for my future generations and leave a legacy. You know, like be the grandfather, the grandmother that they talk about forever, who really just made a huge difference in their life.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so now once you have those two pieces, okay, it's really three pieces because you can start off with like some idea of what's on the other side of that mountain, like why climb the mountain, like the dream, like, well, what if I could have it all? What if I could have my life back? What if I could be free from addiction? And then the second step, you know, like get really present to the challenge. What would I have to take on and face or give up or sacrifice or stand in the face of? And then three, what would be worth standing for? Get really, really present. And Tim, one of the best ways to get present
mm-hmm.
is by writing down your thoughts. Writing down your thoughts in complete sentences. Question, answer, question, answer.
Right.
This, what this does for your mind is it brings a new level of clarity, like a new level of getting present to what's really there.
Mm-hmm.
Most of us in our thinking are very fuzzy. You know,
yeah.
Like we'll think in general terms. Yeah, I know what I want. I know what I'd have to face. I know what might be worth standing for. Like there might be people listening to this call right now kind of going through this in their head. That's not going to work. That's not going to do it. Just listening
right.
to this call is not going to do it.
So everybody should own a journal, basically, and definitely use it every day.
Journal is a really, really powerful tool. Some of my online programs include the journal aspect built in. So
mm-hmm.
it's really a really powerful tool. Okay, so get really clear on what would be worth standing for.
Yep.
All right, now here's the fourth step, okay? Ask yourself this question. The more you see yourself, the more I see myself walking this path, and when I say walking this path, what I mean is walking a warrior path. A warrior path is what you stand for and what you stand in the face of. So the more you see yourself walking this path of standing for this in the face of that, the more I see what? And then, Tim, you just look to see what you see. You don't think about it logically. You just look to see what you see. Like maybe you see, well, the more I see that, the more I see I'll wake up in the mornings and I'll feel that sense of honor for what I'm accomplishing. And then so you arrive at some kind of answer to what you see, and then you ask yourself again, well, the more I see that, the more I see what? And you just keep looking, and you keep asking that question. The more I see myself walking this path, the more I see what? And the more I see that, the more I see what. And the more I see myself walking this path, the more I see what. What it begins to do, Tim, is you begin looking down this new path, like this new, this warrior path, and it becomes getting clear in your mind. And what it begins creating inside you is that feeling of honor as you go through the process of really answering these questions. You almost can't help but feel this feeling of honor as you start to build out that vision.
So let's, how about we just pause, and how about you run me through that, the more you can see exercise. And let's imagine that you're addicted to alcohol. You know, you've been drinking every day for the last 20 years, and you're thinking about, you know, being sober. So how about you run me through that whole, the more I see myself being sober. How about you run me through that exercise? I'd like to see a real example of that.
Sure. Well, you know, it would take first doing the work of the other three things, right?
Right.
Getting clear on what you might want, what there is to stand in the face of, and what would be worth standing for. And, you know, let's say that you got really clear that I would have to face the fear that I might not make it, you know. I might tell everybody and I might fall on my face again. And then I would really, you know, I would really look like a failure. And maybe that's the biggest thing for me, but I'd realize, you know, I get really present on what I'd have to stand in the face of. I say the more I see myself walking this path, standing for my family and being the one for my family, even in the face of fear of failing again, the more I see that my son will begin to look up to me as a hero. And the more I see this, the more I see that, you know, that he's going to start coming to me with his challenges as he goes through school. And the more I see this, the more I see that I can begin to guide my son the way I've always dreamt of being that father for him. And the more I see this, the more I see that he becomes incredibly excited to spend time with me. And I see us going on camping trips. I see us fulfilling on that dream that I always had of being a father.
Mm-hmm.
And the more I see this, the more I see, and you can look in another direction, like maybe look to your relationship with your wife, the more I see that my wife is just going to be so proud of me and so happy to have her husband back. And the more I see this, the more I see that she's feeling the romance again, and she's beginning to trust again. And the more I see that, the more I see our sex life. I can see our sex life just exploding. The more I see that, the more I see I'm waking up in the day, and I'm getting pleasure from being the father. I'm getting pleasure from the sex. I'm getting pleasure from just the feeling of accomplishment.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm taking that into my job. And the more I see that, the more I see that people begin to look up to me at my job. What makes him so happy? What makes him so confident? And I see that it affects my sales and how I'm able to sell, you know, what I'm selling. The more I see that, the more I see I'm making more money. And the more I see that, the more I see I can afford to bring home new gifts for my family. I can afford to take us on vacation to Hawaii. And the more I see that, the more I see. And you just keep looking, and you look, and you look as you go in this direction.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a really, really powerful process, Tim, because
I can see that.
Most of the time our vision is stopped by what we've not been facing.
Right.
In other words, our vision has been limited by what we've, you know, like if you continually feel the desire to go to maybe take the drug or to do whatever it is, and you never really face it and stand up to it, then when you look to your future, you cannot really see yourself ever overcoming it. You can dream about it, you can fantasize it, you can set goals about it, but inside, deep inside, you'll never really believe it because you don't really see it on the level of vision. Well, what creating this warrior path, identifying what's worth standing for and standing in the face of, and then building this vision of walking that path, what that does is it opens up this new vision to where you really see this future. Like, it looks like reality, not like a fantasy, not like a dream, not like a hope. You really start building. Like, this is your future. And the more you build out this path, Tim, which is something everyone could journal about it every single day, every single morning, it'd be really, really powerful. But the more you build this out, the more you're going to start feeling a sense of ownership about this vision, about this future. Like, this is mine. I deserve this. And that sense of being the one, you know, if you've seen The Matrix, you watch Neo step up, be the one to save the world. Well, it's that sense that comes to people like Gandhi, like Martin Luther King, like Neo in The Matrix, where there's this whole future that will not exist unless you step up and walk your path, face what you've not been facing, and stand for something. And the more that you feel that sense, like, this future depends on me, it doesn't occur like a burden, Tim, and not like a lot of us feel like responsibility, like, I got to go to work, I got to be a good father, I'm never doing it good enough, I got to make money. That feels like a burden. This is a whole new kind of responsibility that you get. It's a very pleasurable, because what comes with it is that incredible sense of honor, of being the one to create this future for yourself or for your family or for your community or for the world. So let's go through those four steps again.
Okay.
You start with some kind of dream, like, what if? What if I could reclaim it? What if I could have it all? And then you look at what would I have to take on or face or stand in the face of. And then you look at what would be worth standing for, right? What would be worth standing for? What would be worth taking all that on? And then you look down that path. The more I see myself walking that path of standing for this in the face of this, the more I see what. And then a powerful next step, Tim, is to begin to make commitments.
Mm-hmm.
Begin to tell people. Begin to declare to yourself and the world that this is who you are, that this is the path that you're walking, that this is what you're up to creating. And this is... And you'll get some other free resources there. You'll get some, some information by email, you know, over a period of several days. You'll be able to listen to some other audio recordings. You'll be able to get several free gifts. You know, there's a lot of people who may be able to afford your program, Tim, who couldn't afford to come to, you know, some of my live high-level trainings, or maybe they're in Africa or, wherever they are. So I've made available many free resources there that they can avail themselves of. And to anyone who's really serious about creating the life that they want, like really serious, highly recommend my Vision Force 101 program. That's a live program that we do over a period of 8 weeks through the internet and over conference calls, where you participate with between 50 and 100 other people and go through this process together and do these exercises and journal together and share insights and share breakthroughs and begin to develop your personal training as a visionary warrior and creator in your life. So I think it's an excellent starting point, Tim. And
sounds awesome.
The academy itself, my academy is called the Wealth Warrior Academy, and you can find it at wealthwarrior.org. That's .org.
So we got two websites. We got visionforce.com and wealthwarrior.org.
Yes.
All right. Well, Michael, thanks a lot again, and I really think this call will help reinforce a lot of the stuff we're trying to get into people's heads, and hopefully, you know, help a ton of people break out of the habit, you know, break the cycle, and get the life they want.
It's been an honor for me to be here, and I just want to say that, you know, for all of you who are really taking this on, I just want to acknowledge you for having that commitment to yourself to take your life back. And again, it doesn't have to be a dreadful experience of going through AA and everything else. It can be a hero's journey. So just be that hero for yourself, and if there's any way I can help, just come to my websites and let me work with you.
Awesome. Thanks a lot, Michael.
All right, Tim.
Okay.
Talk to you later.
Bye.